Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's Wednesday, the 20th of February, 2019. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And as usual, everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Please head over there and have a look. Hello to all the followers over there and all listeners to the podcast. Keep plugging in with us as we continue forward. But lots of great info going up on that website. Indeed, lots of articles, Kraz Files originals, amazing articles by great people like Elizabeth Hard and Alona Lahn and others who are submitting articles for me to post, YouTube videos, podcasts, and all sorts of things to go over. A great new carousel there carrying the top podcast to go through and have a look at. And of course, you can listen to them on the website and download them there and subscribe. You can get all the latest info I'm posting into your inboxes, so do that. And you can get it from iTunes, Facebook page, and the YouTube channel, The Kraz Files, Twitter, and Reel.video as well. So plenty of places to get the podcast and have a listen. Please comment on the website and send any articles that you would like posted or any original articles you would like me to post through to thekrazfiles@mail.com. That is up there as well. Meryl Dory is with me today. Meryl, good to have you back after our last chat. You're back in Australia. We chatted to you when you were in the US.
That's right. Great
to have you back.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. It's always good talking to you.
Just for any new listeners who plug in all the time from many different parts around the lands, tell us a bit about yourself and the AVN just to so they can get familiar with that, and then we'll proceed.
Sure. I'm the mother of four children, and my oldest child was injured by his vaccines back in 1989 and then again in 1990. And I've been researching this issue since then. And in 1994, along with a group of other parents of vaccine-injured children and health professionals who specialize in treating children with vaccine injuries, we came together and formed a local group called the Vaccination Awareness Network, which a couple of years later became national, and it became the Australian Vaccination Network. We're now the Australian Vaccination Risks Network because the government forced us to change our name, but we're the same organization that's been operating for 25 years, and we strongly support the right for every Australian and everyone around the world to make free and informed health choices, including vaccination choices, without coercion, financial penalty, pressure, bullying, or threats, which threats, unfortunately, and hate speech has become the order of the day around this issue. You just have to think that there's something wrong with a society where we can't have a respectful conversation about an issue as important to our health one way or another as vaccination.
That's right. And you're doing a great job there. You're the president of the AVN?
I am. I was not president for a while, but our previous president, Tasha David, who did an amazing job, has moved out of the country. And so I've taken it over again in the meantime. It's an organization that's near and dear to my heart. And we literally help hundreds of people every week to become better informed and to oppose the discrimination that's targeting them. Australia is openly discriminating against families and adults as well, who have made informed choices not to vaccinate or not to vaccinate fully. And, you know, in a country that calls itself a democracy, these sorts of actions should never be tolerated. We have to have respect for every person's decision, and especially when it comes to children. It's always the parents' choice.
Yes, we're under the pump in this country. We have been for a very long time, indeed. It's got quite nasty again recently. I know you've been following this and you've done your own posts on this. And we'll get into this a little bit deeper tonight. We have to follow this. As I said, we're really up against it. I mean, I've been following this for so long now, and I've really been a fly on the wall as well. Looking at the anti-vaccination movement and everything, I'm doing independent media, and I'm my own man. I'm putting out my own stuff, And, you know, all the years that I've followed all these groups, I've never seen anything hateful coming out. I'm not saying that people in these groups, you know, don't say nasty things. I'm just saying in general, it's mums and dads and concerned people like you and I who are worried that we're losing our health freedoms and our freedom of choice in regards to medical issues. I mean, vaccines are drugs. They come with risks. They come with serious risks, whether, you know, it could be, you know, adverse reactions or even death. And, you know, this is serious stuff. I mean, this needs to be taken very seriously. And all I've ever seen while I've been involved with this is a level playing field with everybody. They're just concerned. And we want to protect our rights, our health freedoms, and we don't want to live in this draconian medical tyranny, you know, where we're being told how to live and what we can do with our kids, and being called terrorists, bad parents. We're being called... what else are we being called, Meryl? We're being called, what's a big one? Oh, child abusers.
Baby killers.
Yeah, baby killers. Yeah. This has all resurfaced its ugly head recently, the whole child abuse thing. This is, we'll go into this a little bit. And, it's really disgusting. And as I said, we're all good people. I can honestly sit up here right now and tell everybody listening to this, I'm in this with all my heart. I just want to protect my health freedoms. It's my life and I will live it how I choose. I don't want to be dictated to by these people. Yeah, I want them out of my business, you know, and that's why I'm doing this. And, you know, if I believed in vaccines and I've looked at the science, I've had a lot of different guests on. I've done this for years. If I believed that they were safe and effective and carried no risks, I would be, you know, saying that. But I don't believe that. And I think it's incredibly unfair what's happening. And this is being forced down our throats and it's wrong. And it seems to be just spiraling out of control here. And I can't believe this is Australia, Meryl, 2019, where you're turning on these morning breakfast shows and they're talking about, you know, that parents are child abusers because they simply love their children enough to want to protect them from harm that can come from vaccines. And I've spoken to many parents. They're just worried that one of those jabs could affect their child in a very bad way. And so, you know, they're looking at other information that's coming out and they're entitled to. But as I said, we're up against it. We're up against so much. We're up against the media. We're up against Rupert Murdoch. We're up against the AMA. We're up against the Australian government. We're up against the pharmaceutical industry. We're up against a large portion of the Australian opinion. But we continue forward because we've got heart and we feel like we're all on the right path and we're going to stick up for what we believe in. Let's talk about this, Meryl, the latest attacks, because you've come from the US, you've followed this for such a long time. What do you think about all this nasty, vindictive behavior coming out of the Australian media? It seems to have started because a football star's wife defended her decision to not vaccinate her kids. He plays in the NRL football rugby league competition. And I think her name is Chanel, and she's a young woman, and she's very strong, and she's done her homework. He was anti-vax, her husband. They're kind of a celebrity sports couple a little bit, and they've come out and asked that people just respect their decision not to vaccinate, and the media has gone into maximum propaganda, fear-mongering overdrive because of this simple couple coming out and stating their mind.
Well, the thing is, when you are trying to defend the indefensible and saying that everyone, no matter what, must be fully vaccinated, is indefensible when some people are going to be killed or injured by vaccines. So when you have a celebrity, which, you know, this couple are celebrities, actually coming out and saying that for their personal family, they have made a choice not to vaccinate, the only way that the medical community, the media, and the government, which is really all the same, you know, we have one rule by media. The government is not the government, it's the media. The medical community is the media. It's all like an incestuous triad. The only way that they can maintain their ascendancy and stop people from asking questions is to say that anyone who will come out and say anything, even a little bit negative about vaccines, is going to be attacked. And this young woman, she said that she read the package insert for the vaccine, and based on the information from the manufacturer, she decided that vaccines were not going to be for her children. That's a valid and legal response in Australia. Now, Australia has an online database, it's called DAEN, of adverse reactions following all medicines. And I have just done a search on that database for reactions reported between January 2017 and November 2018. There were 2,552 reactions reported in Australia and 5 deaths. And the government admits that only about 1% of all reactions are ever reported. So if somebody is going to come out and say, I am concerned about the safety of vaccines, they have a good and valid reason to say that. But what goes even further, and this is something that I think everybody listening to this needs to understand, is that no vaccine has ever been proven to actually work in preventing diseases. They've never been tested in real world situations for effectiveness, just as they've never been tested in real world situations for safety, either individually or as they're administered in the schedule. So everyone who is vaccinated is actually being tested with an experimental drug, because there have not been any valid scientific studies on the safety or efficacy, effectiveness of any vaccine. So good on Chanel Cartwright for coming out and saying that she questions this, because anyone who was taken the time, and we as parents, we need to take responsibility for our children, and the very least that we can do is to access the package insert, which is the information from the manufacturer on each vaccine that's being administered. We need to look at the ingredients of the vaccine, the known side effects, and there are other side effects that are not listed, and the contraindications or reasons why that vaccine may not be appropriate for everyone. And people who call anyone who looks at this information anti-vaccine do not know what they're talking about, because as parents, it is our responsibility to take care of our children, and that means doing that very minimal work of looking at the package inserts.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're blaming the anti-vaccination movement for her decision to do so. They're blaming these anti-vaccination pages within Facebook because celebrities in Australia decided not to vaccinate based, as you said, on the package inserts of the vaccines themselves, which show direct dangers associated with using those products. That's what they are. And they're blaming anti-vaxxers for her decision that, you know, the anti-vaxxers are giving these people all this, propaganda, and it's changing the decisions they make, or this and that. So amazing thing, as you just said, it's not so. We're getting so much propaganda from the Australian media. It's almost overwhelming. You're the same. I know. Many of us are the same. You just can't keep up with it. And I know a lot of people, it makes them sick to watch these morning breakfast shows and read these Murdoch newspapers, because the lies are so profound, and so the attacks are so nasty and vindictive. But we have to do it here in the alternative media to get the message out to people, because I think it's working. I think that everyday families out there aren't getting the critical health information needed, so they can, you know, make the correct decision, because it's their children, Meryl. I mean, there is nothing more important than your children. It's the most important thing ever. I mean, you know, it's so incredibly important for every parent out there that they want to make the right decision. And some people, well, they're just going to go and vaccinate because that's what they believe in, and good on them. I'm not telling them not to vaccinate. If you've done your research and you want to take your children to the doctor and get vaccinated because you're happy with that information that you've received, then do so. But it's why are people being labeled bad parents, child abusers and terrorists by the Australian media? Because they've decided not to vaccinate based on the research that they've done. What do we do here, Meryl? It's getting so nasty.
It's fear is the only reason why this is happening. I mean, the government and the media are doing it because of money. But what they're trying to do is divide the community by making the community afraid of those who haven't vaccinated. And when you think about it, vaccines work as we've been told that they work, then those who are vaccinated should have nothing to fear from the unvaccinated, because the vaccine's supposed to protect them. But somehow the government has convinced people, totally made them turn off all logic, all sense of reality, and say that my vaccinated child is at risk from your unvaccinated child, that the vaccines are only going to protect them up to and until the time that they are exposed to a disease, and at that point the vaccine stops working. And when you think about it, it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. So we have conflicting interests here. We have the government and the medical community and the media who have huge financial vested interests in the pharmaceutical industry. And we have the parents on both sides who only care about the health of their children. And we have them being told that they are responsible for society, not for the safety of their children. They are told, don't vaccinate for your child, vaccinate for the herd, vaccinate to protect everyone else's vaccinated children. And it does not take a genius to figure out that that makes no sense, not scientifically, not logically, and certainly not morally. If vaccines cannot protect the individual, they simply can't protect. And we see this in every outbreak. The vast majority of those who get these diseases are fully vaccinated against them, and yet the unvaccinated are being blamed. It is totally crazy. I mean, I can't think of another word for it than crazy.
Yeah, it is. I'm seeing it a lot lately. And as I said, they've gone into overdrive. The trolls are out and the media are out. We'll go into the government spending on this propaganda campaign that we're going to see on the TV sets in Australia as well. They've gone berserk because one kind of couple came out and said that they didn't want to vaccinate, which isn't really a big deal. Good on them. That's great. They're not a threat to anybody. Exactly. My child's not a threat to anybody. Yours isn't. I know many people who have unvaccinated children, families. They're all perfectly fine, but we're just getting this constant bombardment, this sledgehammer over everybody's head of this whole herd immunity thing's come up again. Now, if I may, Meryl, I'll just read this out because it's important and it's very important for people to hear this. This was the irrefutable logic which disproves herd immunity, and it's by Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD, a retired neurosurgeon, says that if you just take a moment to consider the history of vaccination, the concept of herd immunity as it applies to vaccines unravels very quickly. He says here, when I was in medical school, we were taught that all of the childhood vaccines lasted a lifetime. This thinking existed for over 70 years. It was not until till recently that it was discovered that most of these vaccines lost their effectiveness 2 to 10 years after being given. What this means is that at least half of the population, that is the baby boomers, have had no vaccine-induced immunity against any of these diseases for which they had been vaccinated for very early in life. In essence, at least 50% or more of the population was unprotected for decades. If we listen to present-day wisdom, we are all at risk of resurgent massive epidemics. That's what we're talking about now. They're scaring everyone about these epidemics of measles. Should the vaccination rate fall below 95%? We're getting that by the Australian government. If the vaccination rate falls below 95%, we're all doomed. Yet we have all lived for at least 30 to 40 years with 50% or less of the population having vaccine protection. That is, herd immunity has not existed in this country. He's talking about the US. US for many decades, and no resurgent epidemics have ever occurred. Vaccine-induced herd immunity is a lie used to frighten doctors, public health officials, other medical personnel, and the public into accepting vaccinations.
That's exactly right. The theory of herd immunity, when it first came out in the 1930s, had nothing to do with protecting the community. There was a researcher back then named Hedrich who was studying why measles specifically, but most diseases go in cycles, 3 to 4 year cycles. And what he found was that when enough children had gotten measles and recovered from it naturally, you would have a period of time where there would be no epidemic. So you would have a lot of kids getting measles, and then you would have, and it was 66%, about two-thirds. So when two-thirds of the children in the community had gotten measles and recovered from it, you would have a period of between 2 and 4 years without an epidemic, just sporadic cases. Then as more newborns came into the world, as more children came in who hadn't yet had measles, eventually you would have a large pool of susceptible children, they would get measles, and then the whole cycle would start over again. The herd immunity theory was never meant to talk about wiping out diseases or protecting society as a whole. Herd immunity as we use it now is a marketing ploy, nothing else. And when it first came out that the governments were using herd immunity as a way of pushing vaccines, they were saying that you needed to get 80% of the population vaccinated in order to wipe out diseases. That didn't work. They went up to 90%. Again, that didn't work. 95%. Now, we're very close to 95% right now, and we're still having ongoing outbreaks of many of these diseases in the fully vaccinated. My guess is that they're going to say we need 100% vaccinated, which they're never going to get. And even with 100% vaccinated, there have been studies in Corpus Christi, Texas, in the United States, where they had a school population with 100% vaccination, and they had an outbreak of measles in people who were serologically, by blood test, immune to measles, and yet they got measles because the vaccines simply do not provide immunity. So even if there was such a thing as herd immunity, you're not going to get it from vaccines. Only natural infection can provide true immunity.
That's right. And I'm a big believer in newborns breastfeeding from a healthy mother up until 2, 3, 4 years old if they need to, and then implementing a very healthy diet, lots of good stuff for them to grow up big and strong. And I think this is all nonsense. I think it's all based on fear, and that's what the media do, don't they, Meryl? They're fear peddlers. It's what I've said before is the GovPhar media. It's government pharmaceutical media. We call it the GovPhar media. They're all intertwined. They're all connected. And Elizabeth Hart has done this so well. You know, I've really tried to push her work because she's connecting the dots, and she's showing all these big vaccine pushes in Australia, in the media, and wherever they are, they're all interconnected, and they're all connected to the pharmaceutical industry in some way, shape, or form, which means that people are getting a biased message. They're getting a one-sided message. They're not being given the whole truth. And because the health freedom movement here and people like us, we're putting out different material that counteracts what they're saying, they don't like it, and they're trying to turn us into these bad people and that we're terrorists and all of this. But I think that that's just going to make it worse for them, because I think anyone out there who can think for themselves and critically think as well is going to, they're going to see this information that they're putting out, and they're going to get spooked a little bit. I hope that they do. And they're going to challenge this critically and mentally and think, I want more information here. And that does not make me a bad person, because, I was saying this to Alona on our last podcast, Meryl, that, you know, you're encouraged by the government and you're encouraged by all these organizations to question everything that you purchase and buy. You got all these choice groups and, you know, they're always telling you, you know, if you're going to purchase something or whatever it is, you're going to eat things. You need to really have a look into those things and, question them before you buy them. It could be anything from something you're eating to buying a car, whatever it is, you're encouraged to do that. But the one thing that you're not allowed to question are vaccines. And it's really amazing. We've talked about this many times about, food products that may be contaminated or someone gets sick from them. You have massive product recalls. You know, they make us wear our seatbelts. You know, the government are always trying to protect us. And, you know, in general, when people out there eat something or consume something, whatever it is, and they get sick or ill, all hell reigns loose, you know, and companies are brought to justice and all of this. But with vaccine injury, it's complete silence. And with questioning vaccines, drugs that you're injecting into your own children, it's all silence. You're not allowed to question them. You just have to go in and lie down, spread eagle in the doctor's office and do what you're told. And if you question them, you're a bad person, you're a bad parent, you're a child abuser, you're a terrorist now. But none of this carries any weight. None of their abuse and their nasty comments and their attacks against families makes any sense. And they never offer any credible evidence to give to families to change their minds in the first place. It's all just hateful propaganda in my book.
It is
crazy, you know. I mean, I was saying to Alona, if I go into a supermarket and there's products in there and there's they're not from Australia or they don't say where they're from or they've got ingredients in there I'm not sure of, I can call the store manager and question them. I mean, if I'm not happy, I can call up Consumer Affairs and get it investigated, you know. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But, you know, someone gets injured or brain injured or dies from a vaccine injection, and it's just all smoke and mirrors. And it wasn't the vaccine that did it. It was their own fault.
Never the vaccine.
Yeah, and then all these gatekeepers and trolls come in and, you know, they try and cover what's happening in plain, clear daylight. It's an incredible thing. These things carry risks. As you said, they can be dangerous and they can be potentially end your life or your child's life. We've seen it many, many times, and it's just crazy what's going on in this country of Australia. Growing up here, I've never seen it like this. It's like there's been a complete possession of this country. It's like we're possessed, Merrill, by these pharmaceutical interests that have just come in. Let me ask you, what do you think about these newspapers like the News Corp papers and these columnists pushing these vaccines? Aren't they really, in a way, as well promoting vaccines for the drug companies? Isn't that illegal in Australia? I can't understand how they're getting away with this.
They are promoting the vaccines. And they're promoting them for the drug companies, but they're also promoting it for themselves because, for instance, Rupert Murdoch has massive holdings in the pharmaceutical industry. He's not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. The Daily Telegraph, I'm pretty sure it is, the paper that started No Jab, No Pay, they brag about this. They actually wrote the legislation, and the legislation is called No Jab, No Pay. We have government by media, an unelected government. And what's happening in the media now, for instance, I was on Triple M last week for an interview about compulsory vaccination. And one of the interviewers, Mooney in the morning, he actually said that he'd like to go out and find an anti-vaxxer and beat them. I mean, the amount of rhetoric, the heat of this talk has become so vicious that it's only a matter of time before someone decides that it's a great idea to go out and beat or even kill someone who they consider to be an anti-vaxxer. And this whole term anti-vaxxer, almost everyone I know who has chosen to stop vaccinating did so because either their child or someone they knew had a serious reaction or died after a vaccine. We're not anti-vaxxers. We are ex-vaxxers. We have decided that for our families, the risks of vaccines do not outweigh any potential benefit, if there is any benefit. So we need to cool this rhetoric down. We need to stop accusing people of things and start having a conversation. This is a serious scientific debate that is not being had because all the government wants to do and all the media wants to do is suppress press it and shut it down. Facebook has said that they want to shut down any pages that question vaccination. That is not their role. They provide a forum for people to discuss issues. If we can only discuss one side of an issue, that's not a forum. That is simply censorship. And Facebook has no right censoring. We need a Bill of Rights in Australia that guarantees freedom of speech, that guarantees the freedom of medical treatment, make decisions for yourself. And until we have that, we cannot call this country a democracy. But we really and truly need to support this conversation. We need everyone to come to the table, because when it comes down to it, everyone, every parent, every doctor cares about the health of the community. I don't know if the government cares about the health of the community. I certainly don't feel like the media cares about the health of the community, but most stakeholders, that's doctors and parents, care deeply about the health of the community, and we need to talk about this respectfully and without coercion or threats or any of those things. And we can't really make any decisions. We can't make sense until we do that.
Yeah. Facebook's an interesting one, isn't it? Have you read the letter from the US to Mark Zuckerberg? Did you read that? It's a member of Congress,
sure.
Adam B. Schiff. Someone posted it on Facebook. It's the actual. I'm looking at the actual letter. Came out. It was dated February 14th, 2019. Sent from Washington Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman. So Mark Zuckerberg. Facebook Inc. Dear Mr. Zuckerberg, says here, as more Americans use the internet and social media platforms as their primary source of information, it is important that we explore the quality of the information that they receive, particularly on issues that directly impact the health and well-being of Americans, as well as the billions who use your site around the world. Accordingly, I am writing out of my concern that Facebook and Instagram are surfacing and recommending messages that discourage parents from vaccinating their children, a direct threat to the public health, and reversing progress made in tackling vaccine-preventable diseases. So this is from a member of Congress, 28th District of California, it says there. I have the letter here. It's really amazing. So it's a whole letter written to Mark Zuckerberg personally, which he hasn't acted on yet. And it was out of a report by the Guardian newspaper that Facebook and YouTube were suggesting searches related to vaccines often led users to pages or anti-vaccination groups.
Again, incredible. Government by media. And they don't call him Shifty Schiff for nothing. This man,
you know,
is
Adam B. Schiff?
Oh, I do know him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I do. He's, you know, because the Democrats have just taken power in the United States, he's gotten onto one of the committees, and he is behind an awful lot of the bad things that are going on in the United States right now. And the United States has an absolute guaranteed freedom of speech. And what Adam Schiff is doing is asking Facebook to contravene the American Constitution, the First Amendment. And honestly, he has no leg to stand on, and I hope Zuckerberg doesn't listen to him, though Zuckerberg doesn't really seem to care much about the Constitution anyway.
Well, I guess for Zuckerberg, it's a business, isn't it, model, Facebook, and these groups are pretty big. I mean, some of them have thousands of members in there. I'm wondering, from what I just looked at recently, it seems that they're looking into it. And I'm wondering if some of these admins of these big anti-vaccination groups on Facebook are about to be shut down. I don't know.
We've been expecting it for a while. And there are alternative sites that have been set up, like MeWe and Truth in Australia, but none of them have the reach of Facebook. But if Facebook shuts us down, we will continue to communicate in other ways and hopefully in other venues that are not trying to suppress our rights.
Yeah, another article as well came out that I posted you from February the 14th. It was from a website called Without a Crystal Ball. And it was posted by Katie Joy. She's an American. And the heading of this article was really shocking. It's time to admit that anti-vaxxers are terrorists. And it's really nasty. And I've been on this woman's Facebook page. Very, very nasty stuff indeed. And I simply posted some questions to her to answer, and she blocked me from commenting there. But she's written a whole article here about this. You read this. It's really shocking, isn't it, to see this kind of stuff being put out there when, you know, families in the health freedom movement who care about their children and their children's health are being labeled as these terrorists and bad people. And all of this we've discussed on this podcast tonight, but it's really these people that are, that I don't know if they're mentally ill or what's going on here or who they really represent, but a really disgusting article out of this website.
It is. It doesn't surprise me what she said, and it also doesn't surprise me that she hasn't really done any research about this article.
Do you know this person, Meryl, at all?
I don't. I've never heard of her before. But, you know, when you read these articles, it's as if there is a cut and paste going on, because you read the same lines, the same words, the same rhetoric over and over again. They have a script that they simply use instead of dealing with valid questions about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. They instead attack the people who are asking the questions. And, you know, you have to just think that this is an act of desperation on their part, because they're simply not reaching the hearts and minds of the parents of America or the parents of the world, because more and more parents are choosing not to vaccinate their children. More and more parents are doing the research necessary to make this decision. And like I said before, if parents want to vaccinate after they have made their research, that's great. More power to them. The only thing that the AVN asks, and the only thing that we think is important, is that those choices are free and informed choices. I personally believe that if everyone was exposed to the true information about vaccine ineffectiveness and the risks of vaccinations, 99.9% of people would choose not to take them. But that's just my belief. I do know that most parents and most adults who are looking at vaccination never actually have an opportunity to read the information that the manufacturer puts out there, that is listed in the scientific literature. This information is not a secret. It is not controversial. Vaccines don't necessarily work to prevent anything. Vaccines can and do cause lifelong disability and death in certain people. And it is immoral and unethical to withhold that information and tell anyone they have to do it. That is playing Russian roulette with someone's health.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You're right, because actually it's funny, because what you just mentioned there about this copy-paste stuff, I figured that as well.
Yep.
Because I was reading this and I was thinking it just all looks copy and pasted from CDC and WHO kind of websites and government propaganda websites, you know, in regards to vaccines. And I went on a YouTube video with her doing an interview, and she really, honestly, there's no way this person is writing these articles. I'm sorry. I looked at her interview. She can't put two and two together. And absolutely 100%. And the thing is that this woman is writing this article that anti-vaxxers are terrorists, and she's putting up all this outlandish information. And she's saying here, for example, in 2017, 110,000 people died from the measles. And she's saying the WHO estimates that 21 million deaths have been prevented due to vaccines, but where's the proof?
No, there is no proof. The key word there is estimates, and if anyone is
it's incredible.
I highly recommend a very short Australian book called Fooling Ourselves on the Fundamental Value of Vaccines by Greg Beattie, because that tells you exactly how these estimates are arrived at, and there is no science and no information in them whatsoever. We have absolutely no idea how many people are dying from anything in the developing countries, let alone from measles or whooping cough or anything like that. It's all rubbish. you know, people like this, there was a grant, just like the Australian government is going to be spending $12 million to educate the community. And by educate, I mean spread more propaganda. The American government and the CDC have done the same. And they have actually hired people who sit in rooms all day at computers answering people who question vaccination on social media and on news groups. This is what they're spending money on, countering people who are asking valid questions, people who are providing real science. And I don't know if this person from Pathos is one of those people, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. It really wouldn't.
It's it's unbelievable how they can get up like this on these websites, and we'll talk a little bit about these doctors on Morning Breakfast Show as well, blaming anti-vaxxers in Australia for so-called measles outbreaks in Madagascar, and saying 1,000 children died in Madagascar, and it's anti-vaxxers' fault in Australia. I'm not kidding, folks. This is what they're doing. They're like blaming anti-vaxxers for these so-called outbreaks over there. But it's astonishing to me, Meryl, that these people can get up there like this woman and Katie Joy on this website and call people terrorists for no reason and copy and paste this propaganda on there and claim that it's hers, you know what I mean? And it's all just propaganda that you can get anywhere. There's nothing to back any of this up. And what really is astonishing, and the question that I put to her and her troll followers as well that follow her, there's a lot of the trolls there, they didn't like, and it was simply about proving all these deaths that she's writing up here on her website. She's talking about thousands and hundreds of thousands of people dying. Well, she needs to prove it. And I spoke to Jim West about this, who's not looking so much at the vaccines. He's looking at the toxicology reports, which I agree with. I think that is very important. And he says that she's juggling political talking points, but no science. If she understood the science, she would find that toxicological causation has not been discounted for the measles virus paradigm, so therefore the paradigm is moot. Therefore the measles vaccine is a moot concept. And Jim's asking here for her to supply the toxicology reports that show that this amount of people died and that they were indeed exposed to measles and that's why they died. That's never shown. They're just telling you in these articles that 80,000 people died, 100,000 people died of the measles. But measles is very broad ranging. And what I mean by that is that measles symptoms could really be anything, Meryl. I mean, rashes, sore throat, flu-like symptoms. This could be due to environmental poisoning or anything that's happening in these regions. So you can't put it down to that, and they're offering no proof here. When I asked her to supply these toxicology reports, they couldn't, and they just turned into trolls and they blocked me. Yeah. How are they able to do this, to get up there? And then when you ask them questions, they just send you a Wikipedia piece or something on the measles by the CDC. But what Jim's after is the toxicology reports that shows these people actually died from the measles.
And there's no way they're going to prove
they
that.
They can't prove it. And no. They can't show it. They're just telling you that. But I'm not going to go off their word. I'm sorry. I want to see the reports. There has to be environmental and toxicology reports done when these massive outbreaks happen to show us what actually occurred and what these people were exposed to. And if the measles virus was isolated in those cases.
Tell you, in the early 1990s, I think it was around 1994, there was an article that came out in a British doctor's magazine called Pulse, and it said that 97.5% of doctor-diagnosed measles, so measles that doctors said was measles just based on symptoms, turned out on laboratory testing to be something else. So only 2.5% of the cases that doctors said were measles. So when we're saying that there are all these cases of measles, have they all been laboratory tested? And one question that nobody ever asks in the mainstream media is how many of them were vaccinated? Because even in the developing countries mm-hmm. where we're told that these people are dying from measles, they have between 80 and 100% vaccination rate against measles. So why are they dying from measles? if they are dying from measles, there are too many questions, not enough answers, and too much of a cover-up. I want to share something with you, if I can, and hope that your listeners could give us a hand with this, too. It's not measles, it's whooping cough. Do you mind if I share this with you?
Absolutely, go ahead. Yep.
Thank you. We at the AVN have gotten several calls over the last probably 3 weeks from people who work in childcare centers around the country. And what's happened is children are being diagnosed with whooping cough in these centers. And in every case, they've been vaccinated against whooping cough. And because there's a case reported at the center, all the parents of other children need to be informed so they can make a decision whether they want to keep their children home or not. Keep in mind that most of these centers can't accept a child if they're unvaccinated. So, of course, they're all going to be vaccinated. But what the people at the centers have been told from officials in departments of health in various states is you must inform the parents that there's been a case of whooping cough reported, but you are not to tell any of them that the child who got it was vaccinated. What I would like to ask is, are there any other people out in the community listening to this now who have had this experience? And if so, can they contact us via our website, avn.org.au? There is a massive cover-up going on, and we need to get to the bottom of it.
That's right. Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. Indeed. I mean, there's nothing... they're blaming unvaccinated kids, but there's something wrong here, and it's being covered up. As you said, very interesting. There was actually an article that came out maybe about a year ago. A childcare worker, she's quit the business, and she said she's sick of it. These sick kids with the snotty green noses and all of this, it's a pretty incredible thing, but that's a big one, the whooping cough, isn't it? Would you say, Meryl, they seem to be wanting to cover this up big time, don't they? It's the one they push big time, but they're offering so many boosters for it.
Obviously,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't. And the science shows it doesn't work. This is, again, not controversial. The vaccine itself could be the reason for this outbreak of whooping cough we've been having since 2008. So 11 years straight of an outbreak with a close to 95% vaccination rate. But the government wants to blame the small number of people who are not vaccinated. And aside from that, we passed no jab, no play, which means that anyone who is unvaccinated cannot go to childcare or preschool. So if they're having outbreaks in childcare and preschool, they can't blame the unvaccinated. And this is why they're trying to cover it up, because every parent is going to be saying, but wait a second, everyone's vaccinated. Why in the world do I have to keep my child home? And why has he been exposed to whooping cough when everyone's supposed to be vaccinated? That shouldn't be happening. The government's going to be very embarrassed by this when it comes out. And I think that's why they're trying to cover it up.
What is it about this vaccine, Meryl, that I know the whole cell pertussis vaccine, I had a CDC document and it was saying that it was barely effective and vaccinated individuals kind of act as carriers of this and can potentially spread it to unprotected infants and especially babies. What is it with this pertussis vaccine that's acting in this manner? It doesn't have like the germ sort of thing in it, but I can't work this one out. It's almost like it's weaponized. It's really weird. You hear that kids that have had it, they kind of it doesn't protect them for very long, if anything, and they kind of harbor this thing in the back of their throats and they're spreading it. What is it that you've looked at about this whooping cough pertussis vaccine that's making it spread everywhere, and what are these kids being exposed to? What is this really?
Well, I've got to tell you, there is nothing about this vaccine that makes it any more or less effective than the whole cell vaccine that we used to use. What we use now is an acellular vaccine. It doesn't have the whole bacteria in it. It only has bits of the protein shell of the bacteria, and that was supposed to make it safer. But what's happened is the old vaccine we were told was very ineffective and very dangerous and needed to be replaced. So we brought in this new vaccine, which is also very ineffective and dangerous. And on top of that, there's something about the way that it was produced by only using bits of the protein that has caused, and the old vaccine caused this, but not quite to the extent that this one seems to be doing it. It causes a shift in the circulating bacteria. So what that means is, let's say the bacteria that's in the vaccine is called XYZ pertussis. The vaccine, like antibiotics, cause resistant strains to develop. Well, the vaccine appears to be causing resistant strains to develop in the community. And these strains are much more dangerous than the original strain of pertussis. They create more toxin. They kill more children. And the vaccine itself does not protect against them. So what we have now is a vaccine with a particular strain of pertussis, and 86% of the pertussis, or whooping cough bacteria, that is circulating in the Australian environment is different from the strain that's in the vaccine. So the vaccine is useless. Even if you think it protected against the strain that was in there, it's completely useless in 86% of the cases in the community. And the vaccine itself makes you more likely to become what they call an asymptomatic carrier. So even if you've had whooping cough and gotten over it, even if you're fully vaccinated, you are more likely to harbor the bacteria in your nose and throat and pass it on to others, which is one of the reasons why we're seeing more and more infants becoming infected with pertussis. And it's only young infants who are at serious risk from this disease. Older children and adults, while they can be sick for a long time, they generally don't die from it. But infants can, and adults are getting vaccinated against whooping cough. People are telling their family members, you can't come near my baby unless you get this vaccine. And because they're vaccinated, they may be carrying the disease and not even know it. They go and visit Bubs. Bubs gets sick, and we have a tragedy on our hands.
It's crazy. It seems that this particular vaccine, Meryl, is a weapon. And I'm wondering about this bacteria you're talking about. It almost seems like it's GMO or something. I don't understand this. It's so potent. I don't want to think too terribly, but I'm just wondering what they're putting in these things. I really do, and I think that people should ask that, you know, what is being injected into my child? Because at the end of the day, we may have the vaccine inserts, and we may have most of the information and understand a lot of what's going into our bodies and our children's bodies, but these things are made in laboratories in other countries, and at the end of the day, I wouldn't be able to say what's really going into them and how this is able to act in this way, this bacteria, and how it carries in kids' throats and how they're able to spread it like this. It just seems odd to me, you know?
The government can't tell us either. There is an organization in Italy called Corvelva, Corvelva. And if anyone looks it up, I highly recommend it. They have been testing vaccines for their ingredients, and they've made some very interesting findings. For instance, this particular vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, they have found that the vaccine had absolutely none of the so-called protective antigens. There was no diphtheria, no tetanus, no whooping cough in the vaccine, but there were dozens of toxic contaminants, things that were not supposed to be in there instead. And our government is importing these vaccines and never tests them. So we have no idea. It's a witch's brew. And when you inject your child with a vaccine, you have no idea what's in there. Your doctor has no idea what's in there. And even more concerning, the government has no idea what's in there.
You're talking about other contaminants in there. Do you know many of these, what they may be?
Well, There was a study that just came out from Corvelva on the Gardasil 9 vaccine. Now, that's the vaccine supposedly against cervical cancer, a human papillomavirus. And they found that only 7 out of the 9 components that were supposed to be there were there. But they found leukemia viruses in there. They found multiple bacteria and viruses from animals. They found human DNA, which had no place being in there. And human DNA in vaccines has been linked with a range of serious side effects, including autism. We know that there is an abortifacient in that vaccine, something that can cause a woman to lose a child. And in fact, some women have become infertile after taking that vaccine. So, you know, these things are a grave concern to anybody who actually takes the time to look at them. What I'm thinking is, don't trust your doctor, don't trust me. Just do this basic research. Look at the information that you can access and ask lots of questions before you make a decision. There are so many good questions out there and so few good answers.
Yeah, we have, as we said, so many issues here. We have ultrasound, we have vaccination, we have antibiotics. And Jim West was telling me, on the last podcast, that ultrasound increases the killing power of antibiotics. And we have so many children now being shoved on antibiotics because, of course, their bodies are displaying all these kind of sicknesses and illnesses. It's coming out of their eyeballs. I mean, they're not looking well, and the parents have no idea. And this is all interconnected. We were talking about this on the last podcast, you know. And they're being vaccinated. They're displaying these illness symptoms, and they're going to the doctor. The doctor's getting them on antibiotics. This is making it worse, and then it's a downward spiral and a vicious circle. And they just get caught in this web. And it's really unbelievable. Just going back as well, Meryl, to what we're talking about with the when you were mentioning that none of these so-called illnesses like the measles are ever tested in laboratories, a great article here from investigative reporter John Rappaport. He's in the US. I've had him on the show many times. Hope to speak to him again soon. He's talking about all these so-called massive flu outbreaks in America, and he's done some bombshell articles that were extraordinarily popular. A lot of people have read these, and he's covered this scandal and flu hoax, as he called it, and the Australian media love spreading this flu hoax around. It really is unbelievable. Every winter, we're going to get it again this winter. And he talks about, about Dr. Peter Doshi writing in the online BMG British Medical Journal, reveals the monstrosity. As Doshi states, every year, hundreds of thousands of respiratory samples are taken from flu patients in the United States and tested in laboratories. Here's the kicker: only a small percentage of these samples show the presence of a flu virus. This means most of the people in America who are diagnosed by doctors with the flu have no flu virus in their bodies that's been isolated, so they don't have the flu. Therefore, even if you assume the flu vaccine is useful and safe, it couldn't possibly present all those flu cases that aren't flu cases. The vaccine couldn't possibly work. The vaccine isn't designed to present fake flu unless pigs can fly. Great article, John. But astonishing information printed in the British Medical Journal. Meryl.
And it's the same in Australia. When we get diagnoses of flu in Australia, just like in the US, what they actually talk about is flu-like symptoms. So if you have a cold and a runny nose, you could be diagnosed with the flu. And if you die from pneumonia, even if they test you and don't find flu, you died from the flu. So the majority of deaths that are put down to flu actually are not flu deaths, and the majority of the cases are not flu cases. And the flu vaccine is incredibly ineffective. I think last year it was only 17% effective. And it contains some of the flu vaccines. Not all of them contain mercury. And there was a very well-published scientist in the U.S. who said that if you take three mercury-containing flu vaccines over your lifetime, you increase your risk of developing Alzheimer's by 10 times.
Jesus. Yeah, I know. It's remarkable. It's remarkable stuff, you know, and yet they keep pushing it, don't they? They just keep
good
pushing
money.
It so much. Yeah, I guess it is good money, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Switching a little bit here as well, I was, I think you were talking about it as well on your Facebook feed. Last night I was watching about, was it Dr. Brad McKay? Is that his name?
Brad McKay. What was it about? Sorry.
It was on a breakfast show in Australia.
Yes,
it was the whole
yes.
leeches thing. They were talking leeches, and you got the wording
we thought
wrong.
They said lynch.
Lynching anti-vaxxers.
Yes, Yes, we should be leeching people instead of lynching them. Yes, this is the thing.
He was talking about measles anyway in Madagascar and blaming anti-vaxxers up there, Dr. Brad McKay, with no facts or evidence to back up anything that he said.
No, who needs facts when you're a doctor?
And this is a doctor. It's really incredible.
The thing is, vaccination is treated as if it were a religion, not a science. And you are supposed to accept what doctors tell you on faith and never question it. And what the AVN says is that nobody is above question. And science is always open to debate and question. Nothing in science is ever absolute. Nothing is ever 100%. So we need to be able to question these things. And let's face it. Doctors make mistakes all the time. I mean, we have every single year drugs are withdrawn and vaccines are drugs. Every single year people die and are permanently injured by drugs. Medical complaints in Victoria says that 56,000 Australians, up to 56,000 Australians die every year from medical error or adverse reactions to properly prescribed drugs. So I don't believe that the medical community has earned your blind trust. In fact, I think they have earned your questions. And if they're not willing to answer them, then you need to find another person who will. And you might need to look elsewhere for your health care.
That's right. Yeah, that was the global measles outbreak anyway from the Today Show, February the 17th. Australians are being urged to check their vaccination records following a string of measles outbreaks across the country. Where? I don't what measles outbreaks are they talking? This is on the Today breakfast program on Channel 9 in Australia, and they had Dr. Brad McKay up there, who's a skeptic, and he's lying on national television because he's a lying liar who lies about lying. I don't know what Brad's really trying to sell here, anyway, the host on the show, Merrill, I was watching this, the actual host said, what can we do with these people? We've exhausted all avenues, basically. How can we make them listen? Should we basically label them child abusers? This is on the Today program on Channel 9 in the morning. And this was put on Facebook. I don't watch this show. That's why I saw it. But I've got it right in front of me, and I will post it on my website for followers to have a look at. But he actually says, we've exhausted all our avenues there, Merrill. Should we label them child abusers? This is coming from the mainstream media in Australia, and this guy knows nothing about vaccine science. He hasn't talked to any vaccine-injured families. He doesn't know anything. The only important thing for this bozo is what he's going to have for lunch, really. He doesn't know anything. If you challenged him on basic concepts in regards to vaccines, he wouldn't know a damn thing. But he's sitting up there, crapping on with this rubbish with these doctors they bring on, and they call this the debate. And this has been going on for years. They won't allow anybody to come in on these shows and have a different opinion. It's all just what they say. So there's no debate in regards to vaccines in this country. And it's almost, I don't know if I'd say it's comical. It's like a really bizarre episode of The Twilight Zone.
I think we're going to look back at this stage in our civilization with horror, just like we look back at the time of bloodletting, when doctors used to just cut people and bleed them. We're horrified now when we think about that. And I think that 10 years down the track, because it's not far away, people are going to look back at this time and they're going to be totally confused about how a small group of uneducated people with vested interests could possibly have fooled everyone for so long. And what you started to say something before about how they're telling us that what we're seeing with our own eyes isn't real. We have become so disempowered by this doctor knows best attitude that we don't even believe what we see in front of us anymore. We're waiting for someone else to tell us what it is. We are capable of understanding this information. We are capable of making the proper informed decisions for our families on all of these issues. But we have been so disempowered by this spiel and so filled with fear to speak out. So many people who haven't vaccinated are afraid to say anything. And the thing is, if we don't speak out, it's only going to get worse. They're already talking about no jab, no job, no jab, no school, no jab, no pension, no jab, no travel. All of these things have been brought up in Parliament, and unless we take action, unless we unite as a community, and I'm not just talking about people who've chosen not to vaccinate, because most thinking people, even if they did vaccinate, would know that this is not only discriminatory, but it is tyranny, and we should all be opposed to tyranny. We live in a democracy. We need to uphold it. Freedom of choice is not free. We need to fight for it. So I urge everyone who is listening to this to get involved, to unite with your local groups on this issue, and to offer help where you can, because we need it. We're fighting a behemoth, a multi-billion dollar industry that has no care, no consideration, that kills literally hundreds of thousands of people around the world every year for money. So we need to fight against this.
That's right. Yeah, we're up against it. And, I don't know what else we can do, Meryl. I mean, it's just so saddening for me to see this stuff, to see these, what seemed like really mentally unwell people making these accusations is really crazy to me, and we're so up against it. I don't know what else we can do but just keep connecting and connecting together. We'll talk about that just before we finish as well, what we can do. We'll talk about the AVN a little bit. I'll mention this great quote from Alfred Russel Wallace. This is on my Facebook page, Provax Lies. This is from 1898, from Alfred Russel Wallace, and he says, "Vaccination is a gigantic delusion. It has never saved a single life. It has been the cause of so much disease, so many deaths, such a vast amount of utterly needless and altogether undeserved suffering, that it will be classed by the coming generation among the greatest errors of an ignorant and prejudiced age, and its penal enforcement and foulest blot on the generally beneficent course of legislation during our century." Really incredible man there. An incredible statement indeed about vaccination, Meryl, but I don't know what else we can do, what you think. I love speaking with you because you're the president of the AVN. This is a very serious body. It provides fantastic information for the public, parents, legal advice, everything. You've got your finger on the pulse. So people can go there and get fantastic information in regards to all of this. What do we do? Because before I let you answer that, I'll just go through this as well. I think I sent you through this. This is from the United States again, which is really incredible. And it's a brand new post that I got through, and I checked it out, and it seems legitimate. It's from February the 15th, 2019. And it says, "A proposed bill puts homeschooled children in the same category as abused or neglected." So this is over in the US as well. They're attacking parents who decide to homeschool as well. So we can see here, it's not just vaccines and pushing this drugs onto our children and families. It's also homeschooling, everything. They're going to have their fingers, their fangs into our throats in every single aspect of our lives. What do we do in Australia, Meryl? How do we connect better to fight this? What do we do? Please help.
There are several things that people can do. Thank you so much, Adam, for asking that question. I urge people, and I don't know if everyone is financial enough to do this, but membership with the AVN is $25 a year, and that not only supports us, but it gives us numbers so that when we go to the government and lobby, which we're going to be doing before the next election, we're going to be going down to Canberra and lobbying Parliament, we can say we represent thousands of Australians. So we have a special on right now. If you join for $25 for one year, you can give a free gift membership to a friend or a loved one or acquaintance, whatever. So this is a great time to join the organization. In addition, on our website, we've got a section called Vaccine Laws, and that gives you all the information about the laws regarding vaccines by state or territory. And we also have a lobbying pack, which you can print out and bring with you to visit your member of parliament. Writing letters is great. Visiting is like 1,000 letters. If you live in an area where you're afraid to go and visit your member of parliament, contact us. We have a buddy system. I'm not saying that we have someone in every area, but in most areas, we would have someone who would feel confident going with you to speak with your member of parliament. The issue is that most people don't speak up. They don't go to their member of parliament and talk about this issue. And, you know, parliamentarians have families too. They may not necessarily know there's a problem. So when they read the AVN has said something, they think, oh, that's just a tiny little fringe group. When they have people visiting them who are their constituents, they pay attention. So this is so important. We need to take responsibility for what's happening in society. If we don't speak out, we kind of get what we deserve. If we do speak out, we will get what we need. So I urge everyone to go to the website, download the lobbying pack, and make an appointment with your local federal and state members of parliament. Bring friends with you, contact us if you want us to get you a buddy, and do it. You know, you will not be left alone. You will have all the information you need, and you will be doing an amazing thing, not just for your family, but for Australia as well.
Yes, absolutely. And just before we finish up, I'll just talk about that proposed bill puts homeschooled children in the same category as abused or neglected. That was Shane Vanderhart, Iowa. House Democrats' assault on homeschooling families in 2019 continues in the form of another bill, HF 272, sponsored by State Representative Mary Masher. This is in Iowa, so yeah, they're getting there. I was thinking the other day, I was talking with a loner the other day, Merrill, how do we organize? Because we've got such a tremendous group going here who are fighting for our health freedoms in Australia to protect them, you know, who don't want to live in this medical tyranny dominated by big pharmaceutical interests. And, you know, they know that the media are, you know, in their pockets, and the government are, and all this. We've had mainstream media admitting that our big two parties, the Liberal and Labor, receive pharmaceutical funding. It's almost comical, you know. I mean, you know, I think all parents out there would want their own say in what happens to their children and want to look after their own households. This is ridiculous. We can't have pharmaceutical companies telling us what we can and what we can't do, and that we have to be drugged. You know, it's absolutely outstanding. But, you know, we've got so much alternative media happening, and we've got the AVN. How do we link up more? What do you think here? How do we link up, and how do we get people out there to find their voice and create a blog, do a podcast? you know, is it a good thing, do you think, to for people to, if they have the funds or whatever, to join? I don't make anything myself. I'm just trying to get out information as best as I can. That's what I'm in this for, to get information out to the general public. That's what makes me happy. I want to do that. I don't make a cent. But, you know, the AVN is the only body that I know of that has balls, that has guts, that can actually make changes in our parliament. And I've seen you, I've said this before, I've seen you on the morning breakfast shows. I've seen you get in their faces. You're on the chat shows. You're on the radio. And we need more people to get involved. You know, what would you be your advice here? What do we do to connect more, to make it more of a threat? And so the media sort of think, wow, these people are really connected and they're not terrorists. They're not bad people.
No, I think that's a really important question. Aside from joining the AVN, we have a free newsletter that anyone can subscribe to. When people go to our website, in the right-hand column, there's something that says Receive Newsletter. You just need to put in your email and your first name, and you will get it. And we keep everyone up to date through this newsletter. Before the next election, we are going to be polling all of the parties regarding their viewpoints on informed choice. And we will let people know which party support informed choice and which ones don't. And do not waste your vote. Don't vote above the line. You vote, the last Senate election I voted in, I think there were 135 candidates. I voted 1 to 135 and I put the two major parties last because they don't support me, so why should I support them? Make your vote count. Even if it takes extra time, do it. And vote consciously. Look at the information that we're going to send out before the election and make your choice to vote for a party that supports informed choice on this issue, because the children of our country are the most important people here and we need to protect them. And right now they are being attacked from all sides and too many of them are dying and too many of them are being harmed, not just by vaccines, but by all the other things that are attacking them, by, you know, radiation, by poor nutrition, by all of these things that are in our community that are harmful to health. So, you know, go to our website. When you go to the website, there's something that says join/support. If you have talents for something, whether it's letter writing or databases or web work, say volunteer with the AVN. There's a link there. Click on that link and tell us what you can do to help, especially if you don't have any funds to pay the $25 a year. Pay with your time. If we all get together and work this out, the AVN got the Conscientious Objector Amendment put through Parliament in 1998 with a group of three mothers who went to Canberra and had no experience with lobbying whatsoever. We got an amendment written, we got it introduced by Bob Brown of the Greens, and we got it passed, and a generation of children was protected from discrimination because of that. Now, if three mothers could do that back in 1998, imagine what all of us working together today could accomplish.
That's right. Absolutely. I agree 100%. And, you know, this is a political media and big industry, big pharmaceutical industry witch hunt. It's an attack against healthy Australian families who have done nothing wrong. They're being treated like criminals and terrorists, and they're children are being treated like lepers. We are living in the dark ages in this country. I don't know why our own media are out to get Australian families so much and to attack them in this manner, but it's a disgusting display, and it's the lowest of the low. It really is. You know, there's nothing wrong with any of us. We're healthy. We have healthy, vibrant, beautiful children. We have done nothing wrong. This is a witch hunt and nothing more. They are using propaganda and fear-mongering as a weapon, and it's really disgraceful behavior, and we need to expose this to the world and show them our story. It's really terrible what's happening. Well said, Merrill. I think that we need you guys in the AVN. We're doing all of this. We're doing our podcasts and alternative media, and we're doing everything that we do. We need that body, you know, up there that can represent all the people out there that are concerned and go into the lion's den and try and force change here. So I would highly recommend for folks out there, if you have some time and money, please put it towards that cause. And also, as you said, Merrill, yeah, people out there who especially like into web developing or video editing and all of this stuff, I'm sure, Merrill, that you guys would love to do some more video sort of stuff and promote your cause as well. It's kind of a hard thing to do, and there's a lot of guys out there that do it so easily, so donate your time as well, and feel good in that you've helped Australians here trying to regain their health freedoms. Because as I always say, Meryl, we all want to be able to look back in the future, even when our kids are older, and look back and think, wow, you know, like we made that change in this country. We were a part of that huge movement that pushed the government and industry and media back into their little holes, and we forced change there. And it's going to be a better world for our children to live in, because that's what I want. Indeed.
Amen, so, Adam. That's so well said. Thank you. And thank you for being out there spreading this such important information. The mainstream media won't do it, and it's alternative media like your program that's going to make the change.
Absolutely. As I said, I wish I had the money that these Triple M and these big radio station and talk shows have, you know, because I could do so much more, but I'm up against it. I'm constantly trying to struggle against the tide, and I'm doing the best that I can with the money that I have. I'm paying for everything myself. I'm doing everything myself without any funding or any help from anybody in the public. I just want to get the word out. So, you know, when I can do more, I absolutely will. But, you know, we're all doing the best we can at this present moment in time. You are, I am, all of us are. And we'll just continue to move forward with honesty, integrity, with heart, passion, and soul and spirit. And that's what we're here to do. We are the real deal. And we'll continue forward, Meryl. And are you in Australia to stay for a while? I talked to you when you were over in the US. So it's good that you're here in Australia. We can tune in a little bit more for some podcasts to keep people up to date on what's happening in regards to all these issues, because it's nothing more important than our health and our spirits and our families, our children, our precious children, you know. It's our lives. It's our health. And we deserve to live the lives that we want to, and we don't want to be bullied and intimidated into taking vaccines and drugs and things that we don't want to. It just doesn't make any sense. So we will continue forward, and I'll put all the links up with this podcast tonight and send it through to you when it's ready. Please keep posting, keep your Facebook pages going, keep the AVN going, continue forward because you're doing a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.